With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour Deflector Shield Shindig. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Spokane to St. Pete, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us, and thanks so much for carving out some time on this Friday for us. We got a good show for you. After last night's NBA draft, a lot of breakdown of what happened over the course of the evening. We'll have our friend Jared Greenberg join us here on the show from NBA TV coming up later on in the program to give us his winners and his losers. Are the Spurs moving around pieces to grab Chris Paul? LaVar Ball puts more pressure on his son last night. And Phil being Phil over the last 24 hours. A lot to get to when it comes to the NFL draft. Also, NBA draft, rather. In the NFL, Kansas City makes a very peculiar move, series of moves, and we will teach you how to eat a candy apple this morning. A lot to get to here on the program. I think it's a winning show. As always, hit us up because I'm sure you guys have plenty of thoughts after last night's broadcast of the NBA draft, after the proceedings over at Barclays Center in Brooklyn. So hit me up with your thoughts, your winners, your losers at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You can connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Let's start with who won the draft last night. And it's hard not to be very impressed with the Minnesota Timberwolves of swooping in and grabbing the guy that's been on the trade block, but outdoing and outdueling the other star-laden teams, the other successful squad, the other winning organizations that were looking at Jimmy Butler as well. Instead, the do-everything guy from Chicago is going to head to the Timberwolves and join a building team, but that has not been able to get to that next level and make the postseason. The big winner last night, though, has been a recent big loser. It's the T-Wolves, and it's where we begin. It's your cold open.
To get a player like Jimmy, you have to give good players up, and we did. And not only are they good players, they're good people. And so that's the tough part, but we felt it's something that our team needed. We're excited. Jimmy, as many of you know, is just going into the prime of his career. So we're excited about that.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That's Tom Thibodeau. And look, this Jimmy Butler deal for the Timberwolves is a great one. It's not a good one. It's a great one. When you see what they gave up, Chris Dunn is a redundant piece because you already have a point guard in Ricky Rubio. Zach LaVine is coming off a knee injury, and he has not been able to elevate himself into consistent go-to scorer. He's been a great athlete, but he has not been a great all-around player that you can really count on. And now coming off of an injury, a guy that is dependent on his explosion and athleticism, you give up a draft pick to Lauri Markkanen as Lauri Markkanen, but you get back Jimmy Butler. And so if you would tell the Timberwolves, with that number 7 pick, you get to draft Jimmy Butler right now in his prime, you take that. Plus, you have Butler under contract for the next couple of years. I think this is a slam dunk. I think this is a winner. I really do. I think this is a fantastic move by the Timberwolves. And the T-Wolves have been building for a while. They've been garbage. They've been irrelevant. They have been bad for a long time. But Karl-Anthony Towns is one of the best young players of the NBA. And he will be, if not already, one of the best, if not the best, big man in the NBA. Andrew Wiggins, you don't have to cough up. That guy can be an explosive scorer. And now you put Jimmy Butler there as well, and you have Ricky Rubio. Again, all of this, to me, savvy move by the Timberwolves, showing they are ready to win, and having signed Tom Thibodeau to be their head coach last summer, Butler rejoins his former coach. I love this for the T-Wolves. And there's not a lot I've ever said that I love for the T-Wolves. I love this for the T-Wolves. And I hope that Jimmy Butler recognizes his opportunity here. I understand you're comfortable in Chicago. Maybe you don't want to leave Chicago unless it's going to be a championship team. And maybe Butler had dreams dancing in his head of going to Cleveland or San Antonio or another squad that was knocking on the door to win a championship, or Houston or something like this. But to me, even though the Timberwolves aren't ready to win a championship right now, you are now at the doorstep of something special, because you are playing alongside one of the most talented young players in the NBA, in Karl-Anthony Towns, who is an absolute lead pipe lock future superstar, and an explosive guy in Andrew Wiggins, and a pass-first point guard that is going to help you set it up. If I'm Butler, I'm a little discouraged because the Timberwolves have been so bad, but I should recognize this opportunity I have. I love it from a T-Wolves standpoint. I can't believe I'm saying this as well, but I love what the Sacramento Kings did. I thought that the Sacramento Kings shockingly nailed every one of their draft picks. I really like De'Aaron Fox. I think he's cerebral. I think he's smart. I think from a point guard standpoint, he's got your athleticism, your speed, your big game ability. I do worry about the rigors of the NBA maybe taking a toll on him. He's going to have to bulk up, put on some weight on that frame, but he's a smart kid. I like him a lot. Then you trade Zach Collins to Portland for 2 picks, which turn into Justin Jackson and Harry Giles. I think both those guys have question marks. I talked about how Justin Jackson worries me a little bit yesterday's show, but I think Harry Giles has huge upside, except he's got the injury history. But those two guys, getting 2 guys for your 2nd pick in the first round after you got De'Aaron Fox, I think very smart. And then you add gritty Frank Mason in the 2nd round. Think of those 4 players in Sacramento. That feels really good for a one-night haul for the Kings. So to me, those 2 teams stood out. I liked what the Timberwolves did, loved it with Jimmy Butler, and I don't think they gave up too much, and I really like what the Kings did with their draft picks. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter, DA on CBS. The next question's going to be for the Bulls. Did they get enough for Jimmy Butler? And I think the honest answer is, I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. Because honestly, you're looking at a team that, frankly, needs a lot, because they were pretty dysfunctional last year. Because Rajon Rondo, Jimmy Butler, and Dwayne Wade did not fit together well. And they need a reboot. I like Markkanen a lot. I really do. I think he ends up being a very good player in this league. So adding Markkanen makes sense. You have a new backcourt. And I'm not ready to throw Chris Dunn out with the bathwater, because a year ago, we all thought Chris Dunn was a very strong draft pick, by the Timberwolves. This made a lot of sense. It gave them flexibility if they want to say goodbye to Rubio. Dunn had a down rookie season, and so that dropped his stock. But Dunn, I still think, can be a good point guard in this league. I think you know what you get with Zach LaVine. I don't think he's ever going to amount to a star. I don't think he's ever going to be an all-star. I think, honestly, this is a player that can be, at his best, an explosive dunker, athletic wing guy, but never a go-to player of your starting five. But for the Bulls, the question is, did they have anything better on the table? I mean, if they were able to get Lauri Markkanen and two starters, so basically with one fell swoop with Jimmy Butler, you get three starters because Markkanen's going to start. Not bad. Honestly, not bad if you're trying to reset. I don't know what else was out there. I don't know if they said no to other deals. You wonder why the Bulls had to pull the trigger now. They have him under contract. They could have traded him midway through this upcoming season, the trade deadline. They could have kept shopping him throughout the summer. I suppose they wanted a draft pick this year to restart, and Markkanen ends up being that guy. But that's going to always be a question mark. They gave up a great player. Did they get enough back? I think that's the jury's out on that. For the Cavs, this takes Butler off the table. Now the Cavs don't have Jimmy Butler to potentially grab. So it becomes Paul George or then the second tier, because the only guys that were going to be superstar caliber that you could bring in for the Cavaliers to team alongside LeBron and Kyrie was Paul George or Jimmy Butler. Now puts a lot of pressure on trying to get Paul George. And again, I've always said this, I don't think the Cavaliers can pull this off because they don't have enough to give up. I think somebody is going to give up more because the Cavaliers just don't have that flexibility. Now, the Cavaliers also, though, are engaged apparently in talks for eight different players. We don't know what eight they are, but there's eight different hardcore negotiations they are involved in potentially. One of them could be Danny Green. That surfaced last night. I think Danny Green would be good, but if you have to give up Kevin Love, I'm not so certain that's an advantage. I don't know if that's an improvement. Green is a very good defensive player, very good on the perimeter, has made himself a stopper, and that's important for the Cavaliers. But remember, Love gives you really good outside shooting from three-point land. He also gives you rebounding. Neither one of those things are Danny Green's specialty. Green can shoot from the outside, but Love is a really good three-point shooter. So, and you lose the rebounding, obviously. So I don't know. I mean, for the Cavs, it's kind of interesting how the Cavs and the Timberwolves' fates and futures will forever be linked. That's where the Cavaliers and LeBron pried Kevin Love away from for Andrew Wiggins. And now Jimmy Butler goes to the Timberwolves instead of LeBron and the Cavaliers. Very interesting. So when we come back, let's talk about that Spurs deal. If they are able to trade Danny Green, if this is true, are they moving the pieces to grab CP3? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Open now for brunch.
Hi, how are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. Oh, God.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, God. It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later on to the show to answer it. Now, sign up to be an O-Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O-Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. Fast, easy, and free, and only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Charles tweets, DA, Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and the 7th overall pick is a better offer than Kevin Love because Love is honestly all the Cavs could offer. Joe tweets, DA, the Bulls got fleeced in this one. Hard to believe that Boston or Cleveland could not make a better deal. Greg tweets, terrible deal for the Bulls. Didn't get enough for Butler and could have gotten more from the Celtics than they got. I wonder about the Celtics. I really do. I wonder because, frankly, the Celtics have all of these draft picks. The Celtics seem to want Jimmy Butler. The Celtics seem to want to make a deal. I mean, Danny Ainge continues to talk about making deals. And yet, here we are. The Celtics had a higher draft choice than the T-Wolves at 7. Celtics at number 3, originally at number 1. And so, you'd have to imagine they could have given up the equivalent of Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn from their roster of guys, or made them draft picks instead for the Bulls. So I would think the Celtics could give up more for Jimmy Butler, but it sounded like they didn't want to give up that number 3 pick, which is kind of weird. Because can Jason Tatum be a very good player? Yeah, he could, but he's not a slam dunk, and we know Jimmy Butler is. Maybe the Celtics were worried that they could not get Jimmy Butler to re-sign, that they would only have him as a couple of season rental. But at the same time, I tend to agree. I kind of wonder if Danny Ainge, having been set up with that ridiculous Brooklyn Nets deal that he totally fleeced the Nets on, is kind of always looking to fleece the other team and not willing to make an equal 50-50 trade. I really wonder, is he just looking to rob other teams? Because now every franchise, every general manager does not want to be Billy King. Everybody is on high alert when you talk to the Celtics, because right now Billy King and Bobby Marks got run out of town, specifically Billy King for being the GM with the Brooklyn Nets. He'll never live that down. He will be the architect of one of the worst trades in NBA history that set back the Nets franchise for years. They are a laughingstock because of that. They are embarrassed and humiliated every year, which is why I said I thought that getting D'Angelo Russell and still having a pick in the first round was brilliant by Atkinson and the Nets, because they've got no assets. None. Or at least they didn't, because they traded them all to the Boston Celtics in that ill-fated deal. So sometimes I wonder if Ainge is just waiting to hit and crush grand slams and not willing to do honest trades where, you know, they always say the best trades are the ones where you've got to, the best negotiations, the best deals, the best trades are the ones where you come out and both sides feel a little bad about what they gave up. You know, it's got to hurt. It's got to hurt a little bit of what you gave up. And I kind of wonder if Ainge, if he's not willing to pull the deal on Jimmy Butler for the number 3 pick, if that was true, is kind of never willing to do anything unless it's a grand slam crush job deal, which you're not going to get because everybody's on high alert right now. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. So are the wheels in motion for the San Antonio Spurs to grab Chris Paul? Perhaps. I don't know how they're doing this, but they are somehow getting Pau Gasol to decline his player option, which is worth $16 million. He's not getting $16 million to the open market if he declines. No way. No chance. No way, shape, or form. It's like Jedi mind tricks in San Antonio. This is not the player option you're looking for. I mean, you ain't getting $16 million anywhere else. That's exactly why Dwayne Wade is opting back into the Bulls. He's got $24 million reasons. And it sounds like the Spurs are going to try to get him on a more cap-friendly deal that's extended. But, I mean, this sounds like one of those backdoor Spurs deals where you kind of can't figure out, like Tim Duncan, why do you keep taking less money? Now, for Duncan, maybe he just wanted to win. But for Pau, who has his championships, does he really just want to stick around and will take a quarter on the dollar? And now also they're looking to trade Danny Green, it sounds like. Well, if they can trade Danny Green and Pau Gasol comes off the books, well, suddenly you're talking about having the money to do Chris Paul or pretty close to it. Suddenly you've got two of the big pieces. And that was the thing. Nobody thought that they could get out from under Pau Gasol's contract because that's his decision. It's his decision to want to come back for $16 million. And he's apparently going to say no to that. 16.2. Danny Green's making $20 million a year for the next 2 years. So everyone's like, well, you're not going to get out from under that. You take away Pau Gasol at 16 next season. You take away Danny Green next season at 20. That's $36 million freed up right there. Now, who knows what you get back for Danny Green, obviously. Who knows how you're going to try to pull that deal. But for the Cavaliers, if they don't have to give up Kevin Love, they'll do that in a heartbeat. Now, they don't really have anything to give up, so who knows if the contracts match. But suddenly, that's pretty interesting. Now, I've talked about this before. Just adding Chris Paul to the Spurs, I'm still not certain that they're good enough to topple the Warriors. But it makes them more interesting. Sounds like the Spurs, though, are also shopping LaMarcus Aldridge. Now, Aldridge has a big contract. So the Spurs could completely redefine themselves in one offseason, which would be pretty amazing. It really would be pretty amazing. And R.C. Buford is an amazing general manager. Obviously, that front office is one of the best in all basketball, if not the best. They continue to retool and rebuild and reload, and they're trying to do it again. It's pretty amazing. I'm sorry, it's not $20 million a year for Danny Green. It's $10 million a year for the next 2 years. So $10 million on Danny Green next season, $16 on Pau Gasol. That's $26 that would be freed up next offseason, or next season, rather. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Sounds like Bulls fans are irate of what they got back for Jimmy Butler. And I understand why. Because if this was a deal for Butler and he was an impending free agent like Paul George, then you've got to make a deal right now and you can't afford to be patient. I get it. But Butler was under contract for the next couple of seasons, so you weren't at gunpoint having to do something. I understand. I just would love to know what other deals the Bulls had. I'd love to know it because, yeah, it feels like they should have been able to get more. Or if they weren't going to get more than this, you could wait it out. But I'm thinking that the big thing was they wanted to get it done on draft night or by draft night so that that draft pick was already in motion. But probably the Bulls needed to be more patient. Yeah. Thomas is in Baltimore listening on CBS Sports Radio's 1300 there. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how's it going, DA? It's Friday. Can I get on that mothership? Please?
You know it, buddy. What's up?
Thank you very much. Specifically to the Celtics, what they had to offer. I mean, if you're looking at something for the Bulls, they get immediate help. I mean, not help, but they get immediate players. They had a proven starter in Zach LaVine, opposed to, say, someone like maybe Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, picks down the line. You know, you don't know what's coming up. So I think that, at least from that perspective, you get some players that can actually get on the court, and you're not looking to rebuild from the ground up with a bunch of rookies. So I understand. I think definitely the trade goes in Minnesota's favor, but, you know, I don't think the Celtics are going to give up the type of prospects that would be even worth what LaVine and Dunn would be.
Well, here's the thing. You know, LaVine is coming off the knee injury, and when he's healthy, when he's right, he's explosive. He's an incredible athlete. He's a dunk contest winner, but is he a great basketball player all around? No. Will he ever get there? I doubt it. Will he ever be Jimmy Butler? No. Now, Chris Dunn, can he be a good point guard? Yeah. Is he going to be a great point guard? Probably not, but it's still early. But so that's the thing. I mean, can the Celtics have given up two fringe starting players? I think so. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe just simply the Bulls didn't have or see those players in the Celtics roster. You know, maybe outside of Jaylen Brown, there were no real rookies that they really liked or young players that they really liked, and Jaylen Brown's probably an untouchable for Danny Ainge. But if that's the case, if you're the Bulls, why not then wait it out? Why not wait it out to see, okay, let's hold on to this asset because we've got him under control this season, the following season, and the following season. Three more years, or two more years after this, and then a player option. Why not kind of stick it out if you didn't really love the deal? But Bulls fans have seen their front office mess up before, so I think that there's just a lot of frustration there already. When we come back here on the program, a little sound check. Speaking of Danny Ainge, we'll hear from him and a very funny moment from Shaq defending the honor of Doris Burke from leering eyes. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
Who's Magic Mike? Who's that guy?
That's, not Shaquille O'Neal. What's his name?
Shaquille O'Neal.
What? Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum.
No, it's definitely not Shaquille O'Neal. That's the one thing I can say for certain.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember, you can listen to us on your phone. Doesn't have to be on the radio. You can check us out using one of the apps that we're streaming on your phone. Download the CBS Sports app, the TuneIn app, the Radio.com app, or Apple Music. Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. You can hit us up after last night's draft at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Coming up next hour, LeVar already putting the target on Lonzo and other NBA players, taking some shots at the newest Laker. Also, Phil being Phil and falling asleep. Don't you wish, well, I don't know, maybe you guys have a job where you can fall asleep on the job. I do not. If I fell asleep during this show, well, it might be a slightly better show, actually, but I am not paid to fall asleep, unfortunately. Maybe some of you are, which, if you have a job in which you actually still get paid and can fall asleep, I really admire that. I really have to say, good job. You might hate your job. You might feel like you're being underpaid. You might feel like your boss doesn't respect you. You might feel like, you know what, this is not what my career ambition I had in mind. But if you are getting paid while you sleep, that might be the best job. That's at least a bonus. That's at the very least a bonus. I would guess, Mraz, when we were doing the overnight show here on CBS Sports Radio for the first 2 years of our existence here on the network, that we had a bunch of people that were listening that would kind of be in and out of sleep while listening. I know one of them worked for us.
Hey, I'm Peter Schwartz.
That's a great point. I think they were also in and out of sleep as they were on the phone with us as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't put them on hold for longer than 5 minutes on the overnight.
We had truckers that listened to us a lot of the overnights, but I would imagine they're not sleeping while driving. They're sleeping while pulled over. We had those that worked security positions in the middle of the night. I would imagine some of those could fall asleep. You know, if you're just working like a security booth somewhere.
My cousin used to do it all the time. Worked like an overnight security in Florida and we'd be passed out.
Nice. So it runs with the family, huh? Also, we had like 7-Eleven clerks, convenience store clerks. I think I've walked into a 7-Eleven or an overnight store, a 24-hour store, and seen like the guy like kind of jolt up when I walked in.
For sure.
Trying to think of other jobs that people would have had listening to us where they were asleep.
People fielding fields of illegal drugs, you know?
Fielding fields? Like, what do you mean?
Like growing marijuana. We used to have those people tweet at us.
Okay. I wouldn't consider that the career, but yeah, okay.
Well, I'm sure they're making a lot of money off the books.
Yeah, yeah. So you think those that were growing marijuana were falling asleep while growing marijuana? I mean,
Well, it's like watching grass grow.
Yeah, you could just go to sleep, though, and then come back. Like, I don't really think you're on the clock there.
Good point. No time clock. You're not punching in and out.
No. We had the one guy who was roofing with his dog Cujo out in Albuquerque, but I don't think that was his job. I think that was his actual own house.
Probably should get some sleep and not roof in the middle of the night, but I did think he said it was cooler in the middle of the night.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was the time he could do it.
You could have a hotel receptionist.
Very good. Yeah, that's a good one. I've come down into the lobby of a hotel a couple of times and seen one of the people behind the desk fall asleep.
24/7 fast food workers.
Yeah, that's a good one. I feel like they could be passed out in the back.
Yeah, and then that ding goes off when somebody pulls up, needs the Big Mac, and away we go.
Yeah. The reason I bring this up is because reportedly Phil Jackson was asleep while scouting a player. So he's getting paid copious amounts of money, and he's getting paid while sleeping on the job. So if you've ever fallen asleep on the job, just remember that you're in good company alongside 13-time NBA world champion, one of the greatest coaches of all time, one of the most decorated basketball icons ever, Phil Jackson. You're right alongside him. It's time for your sound check.
CBS
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Let's start with the other DA, Danny Ainge, who did not like Josh Jackson after he canceled his workout with the Celtics.
Never talked with Josh. No one in our organization did. I know someone wrote that was different, but that's not the case. They canceled a workout on us when we flew out to Sacramento, and they just decided to cancel it as Brad and I and Mike Zarin flew cross country. So there was something that he didn't want to play for the Celtics.
Yeah, I wonder about that. I don't know. I think that Danny Ainge is a master of misinformation. I think he has actually built up kind of this perfect little cocoon in Boston and nationally where everybody respects what Danny Ainge has done because he won a championship with the Big Three, because he was able to pull off that deal for Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen, because he has hired Brad Stevens. Look, Danny Ainge has done a lot of good things in Boston, and now he's kind of retooling on the fly. They were the number one seed of the East. He found Isaiah Thomas, basically stole Isaiah Thomas. You know, there's been a lot of good things, but I think that Ainge benefits from being in a cocoon where he's not often criticized because he's done enough to succeed and was part of the glory years with the Celtics in the Bird era, where he, you know, a lot of other teams could do this, could say this, and we would crush him. Like, wait a second, what? He doesn't want to be part of your team? Why wouldn't he want to be part of your team? That's a you problem. How could you not get them to work out? What is going on? You're lying to us. But because it's Ainge, it's kind of accepted that, well, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I guess he must be right. Like, why? Josh Jackson is going to sacrifice money because he doesn't want to play for the number one seed in the East? It's not like the Celtics are dysfunctional. So I'm not quite certain what to believe when it comes to the Celtics, especially coming from Ainge. And I'll tell you, Danny Ainge has the old Dennis the Menace thing where he smiles and he looks comfortable and he looks pleasant. And it's like, yes, Mr. Johnson. Yes, Mrs. Smith. Yes, I'm doing great in school. Yes, I'll walk your dog. Yes. And then behind the scenes, like he's, you know, hitting the cat with a wiffle ball bat. There's part of that that is in Danny Ainge. What you see, the facade, is all this pleasant, nice young man thing. And then behind the scenes, he's actually a total agitator and everybody hates him. And you could tell that from the Lakers and Celtics 30 for 30 that just aired. That he was one of the most hated Celtics from everybody else in the NBA. Because he was the snipping dog. He was trying to get into fights, but never really wanting to fight because he had all the other guys around to do the hard work for him. I was at that Shaq and Alonzo morning Q&A, 25th anniversary. This was sponsored by Amex the other day in Times Square, and Doris Burke was the host, and they were going back down memory lane 25 years since the 92 draft where Shaq went 1 to the Magic and Zoe went 2 to the Hornets. So there was a moment in this, it was about an hour-long Q&A, a little bit longer, and Doris's mic goes out. So Doris says, I got to go get re-mic'd up, and so Zoe and Shaq are on stage, and Doris leaves the stage, and then Doris comes walking back. As she comes walking back, I didn't see this because I was a couple of rows back, but apparently one of the guys in the front row was kind of like checking out Doris Burke as she walked by as Shaq and Zoe were sitting on stage, and here was what Shaq said.
Ladies and gentlemen, Doris Burke. You should have seen this guy's look when you walked by. What are you doing? Don't look at Doris like that, man. Here's that. It's Doris Burke. Don't be looking at my Doris like that. Oh, I got your back, Doris.
I feel like I got you.
could I ask for two better bodyguards than my two men up here?
You got your back, Doris.
Don't be looking at my Doris like that. You know? Imagine coming home with Doris Burke and her being like, I'd like you to meet my father. And then you open up the door and that's Shaq. I don't want you looking at my Doris like that. You'd be like, okay, we're never going out on a date ever again. You know, do you get the feeling that a bunch of the NBA players do protect Doris Burke? I mean, everybody loves Doris. She does a really good job. She's a really good analyst. She's a really good broadcaster. But it does feel like everybody in the NBA kind of does protect her a little bit. And I thought that this was a little bit of a window into that.
Like she's in with us. You're not touching her. Yeah, I guess I do kind of feel that way.
Maybe like a little sister?
She is kind of like a little sister. Because anytime you see her do an interview, you get the feeling like she's really, really respected.
Yes.
Not just like, I'm blowing off this interview real quick. Like
right.
She's genuinely respected by every player in the NBA.
Yeah, and she also feels very humble. And so I don't think that she... They might feel like she does need to be protected a little bit because she's not like a, she's not like an alpha male type of personality. She's not like an attack dog. So maybe they kind of feel, and also they're all probably 3 feet taller than her or 2 feet, you know, so you look down on this little Doris Burke. She's asking you questions. You're like, that's my Doris. Don't look at my Doris that way.
I would love for LeVar Ball to tell Doris to stay in her lane and then Shaq tell LeVar
yeah,
Ball something.
Yeah.
That would be something I'd pay to watch.
And punch LeVar Ball in the face.
Don't be looking at my Doris like that.
Yeah. Like Mr. Six punched you in the schnoz. That would be Shaq doing that to LeVar Ball, which we would all love.
We would all pay to see that, yes.
Don't be looking at my Doris that way. My Doris. I would watch any rom-com if it was Shaq and Doris Burke together. Like, that was the couple that they were dating other people. They were dating their best friends. And then they broke up. And they couldn't quite get back together. And by the end, it's Shaq and Doris together. I would love that. And finally, Luke Walton discussing how LeVar Ball has already put a target on Lonzo's back.
It will make it more challenging a little bit. But I think every top draft pick that comes in has a target on their back. The best players in this league want to set the tone with these young players early to let them know what it's like here. I know when I was a young player, I had a target on my back for my own teammates because of things my dad said, but it ended up working out.
So Luke Walton actually does have very specific experience in this because his dad obviously has been very outspoken over the course of his career, over the course of his life. His dad, Bill Walton, is one of the most vocal and opinionated guys we have in sports, in the world maybe. So Luke is specifically well-trained in this, and we'll talk more about this coming up at the top of the hour. But there's no doubt that LeVar has put a target on Lonzo's back. Not from just the media and fans, but from the players in that league as well. And that is your sound check. You know, I wanted to play another clip from the Shaq and Zoe Q&A because I thought this was interesting. They led off the discussion talking about the NBA Finals and the Warriors versus the Cavaliers and the Warriors kind of being this now mega team. And you could tell that Shaq is really bothered by this. He is really bothered by Kevin Durant joining the Warriors.
Like, you know, you got four guys on the court and they're not really role players. Like, you got four stars on the court. Like,
super team, but
and I was going to mention the word super team. Everybody's talking about this super team. And you think about back in the 80s, the Lakers in Boston, they were super teams. Yeah, they were.
Not
they,
like that. Cut it out.
They were Hold super on. Teams.
No.
They Boston's battled, different. And it looks like we got here.
Had five, six Hall of Famers on their team.
Bird.
That's different.
Bird,
Magic,
Mikhail,
that was a super team.
Magic?
I mean, it was a super team.
Come on now. Okay, you don't think Magic, Kareem, and James worthy?
They were, but I'm just saying.
All of them.
Listen, I don't have a problem with what
Bob McAdoo, I mean, you put that in there. Hall of Famers, all on one team, you know, so... It's than what it was back then.
Okay, but it's the first time, in my opinion, that a megastar joined a team that was already super established.
So that's kind of a fair point by Shaq. You know, when you look at the Lakers and Celtics, those teams were built organically. I mean, those guys were drafted or brought in very, very young. they didn't have established future Hall of Famers in their prime going there. Now, you could say the Lakers when Malone and Payton joined up, but those guys were the end of their careers. I think maybe you could say that Rodman joining the Bulls for that second three-peat was pretty close. Rodman, a future Hall of Fame type of player. But I do think that there is some credibility there from Shaq saying an established superstar joined a team of superstars. And that's even different, really, than the Heat, because the Heat came together at the same time. So I think that's why people are a little uncomfortable with this, because it is, even though we call other teams super teams, it wasn't assembled the same way. Now, look, the Warriors don't have to apologize. It just so happened they caught Magic and Genie in a bottle because the salary cap went up and they had enough maneuverability and they had drafted their previous guys. And that was the only year that it was probably going to be able to happen. And Kevin Durant happened to be a free agent that year. And so they nailed it. But it is different than a lot of other teams, maybe every other team. When we come back, how LaVar Ball just made Sixers-Lakers interesting.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.